B.I.G.
Yeah.
B.I.G.
Yeah.
B.I.G.
I just want you to feel this right here. Cause this is real special. The king and I.
B.I.G.
Let's go.
And we waited through the suffering and pain. The bitches ride the dick like the A train. That's why I flip. Keep a burner to my hip. Take a hooker to the crib. You know she got the strip. Stay dipped. Out of state trips. Don't drink a lot of Hennessy, I only take a sip. I'm a skipper like a captain. Rapping is my specialty. And the best is
Jada. You're lucky I don't run you over in the SUV. You love you feel some kind of way, you can SMD. Me, Fizzy, and the king, that's a special three. Bars, money, less you work, the less you see. Put hands on them, they just want to SUE. That's all, could never do what I can do with less you me. Dog, I'm a low cat. Yeah, I bring that dope back. No matter how they feel about me, just let them know that.
You made me your wife. songs left with a calm breath. I say we got to float. Throw little seeds, the keys to the boat, tongue all down the throat. You know the routine. Got my dick large like Bruce Springsteen. I invite those girls to smoke live. Keep it real with you, keep it real with I. We be tight like frogs ass. Have you screaming, Biggie, Biggie, give me one more chance.
Why?
It's the king and I.
Welcome to Every Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Mae Santiago. And today I got a special guest, legendary entertainment executive Corey Taylor. Welcome to the show, Corey.
What's up, man? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Okay. I'm good, man. How you doing? I apologize for being late. I was actually interviewing the Clark Sisters.
Oh, trust me, I was watching.
Oh, man. Hey, man, I hope that interview was okay. Was the interview okay?
Yeah, it was really good, man. You asked some really good questions, too, because the one question you asked them, what would they ask, you know, what would they say to the younger Clark Sisters just starting out? I think that was a very important question, because I never heard anybody ask that particular question.
Yeah. They actually, it helps when you, I don't know them as well as I know their kids, but it makes everything more, you know, more comfortable, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I was nervous, man. You know, they are iconic. And
I totally understand.
I made that happen at the last minute. I called my friend, Nikki, Dorinda's daughter, and she made it happen for me at the last minute. And it was great. It was great speaking to them, man. But anyway, what's going on, man? What's going on?
Thank you for having me. Oh, definitely, man. You are someone that I truly have been watching for, you know, down the years, and truly admired your expertise in the entertainment industry. Working with some of the greatest, and you know,
well,
SWV,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I haven't even got to a little bit to where I want to be at, man. But I'm grateful, you know, for the opportunities that God has given me. It's so much more work to do, you know, and so I'm really, really grateful. I'm actually trying to just stay creative with this pandemic that's going on, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
I
definitely.
Tell people all the time, man, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
True.
You know?
And, so I also want to say I'm sorry. I heard, you know, I was listening to the interview with the Clark Sisters, and I heard you mention that you had to close down one of your barbershops, so I'm sorry to hear.
Oh, yeah, thanks, man. You know, I did. I bought the barbershop back in 2009, and what has happened now, this pandemic has forced people to be creative. So when the barbershop was closing, a lot of people was cutting in their backyard, in their house, at other people's houses, at hotels, and trust me, I know, because I got my haircut every week. I had my mask on. I had my Lysol with me, and I had my sanitizer. I was one of them going to get a haircut every week, you know. So I understand, man. And it is stressful trying to keep licensed barbers in the barbershop. And now everybody is out here trying to survive. So I'm not mad. It could have been handled differently with how some of the people left and did and didn't, you know, say anything. But hey, life happens, you know.
Right.
And yeah.
One door closes, something better is in store.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah.
So,
so
is
where
that
are you
a permanent closure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. I'm actually in New Jersey at the moment. I'm originally from Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, we, you know, I claim to fame as the birthplace of Faith Evans at Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I know that's one of your friends.
Wow.
I'm actually an avid faithful. So, you know, so
yeah,
that's another way I've become
like
familiar with you.
Yeah,
that's
another,
it's like totally another way I've been like becoming more familiar with who you are and what you do is by following her career and seeing you guys work together on other projects. And things like that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She is one of the most nicest artists in the music business that
mm-hmm.
I know. And I'm not saying it because she's Faith Evans. I'm saying it because it's true. There are a lot of artists that are not so approachable. They're not nice, you know. And she's not like that. She's always been one of the best, you know.
Right. I had an opportunity to meet her back in 2017. Through a radio contest. And yeah, she was, I mean, she had everybody in stitches. She's hilarious. And, but what everybody really took away from that moment was how down to earth she was. And like you said, she's very approachable. When you meet her, you're like, oh my God, it's Faith Evans. But then when she starts to talk and you're like, man, she feels like my cousin, a friend, you know, so familiar. And the whole stargazing thing, because she's so down to earth, it's just like wow.
It was really good. She's really good. She's a good person. Really, really good person, man. Yeah.
Are you guys gonna be continue the R&B spotlight thing or that you guys were working on before?
Well, that's the reason why I started doing this with Vibe to get it going. But actually, you know, in person, I have some ideas that I want to do virtually, but in person, the pandemic is controlling everything. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So you don't know. We're getting too relaxed because we're thinking that this pandemic is going to go away. It's not going to go away just like that. We still have to be cautious, you
right.
know, and we're not doing that, you know, and that's going to lead to more, you know, deaths. Possibly.
Right.
Don't want to speak on nobody, but, you know, that's going to lead to more deaths, you know?
And if I'm not mistaken, you said you were from Virginia. What part of Virginia are you from?
I live in Virginia Beach.
Okay, I used to live there myself. I was ex-military. I used to live in the area. I was in the Navy, but I used to live in Virginia Beach, Portsmouth.
Okay.
Yeah, those two areas.
Are you familiar with Military Circle Mall, Lynn Haven Mall,
yes.
MacArthur Center?
MacArthur
you know,
Mall.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Lynn
Haven Mall.
Listen, Lynn Haven. Virginia, we're so behind, man. It's a military town, but we are so behind. Like, extremely behind. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I kind of miss it a little bit. I stayed out there for a very long time, and
how old are you?
Oh, I'm up there. I'm like
no, man, because you sound like you're 21. I'm like, you sound very young.
I know, man. It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, I like how you answered that question and just laughed it off. But okay,
you know how you got to do it in this business, man.
I understand.
Yeah. But I really miss it, man. I was down there for quite some time. Really miss it. I was actually just talking about planning a trip to come down there. You know, through all this stuff, you know, everybody's pretty much at home, so I thought about taking a ride down to Virginia Beach for the weekend or something.
What part of Jersey are you in?
I'm actually in a town called Berlin. It's right outside of Cherry Hill. I'm probably like 15 minutes from Philadelphia. 15 miles.
Yeah,
15 miles from Philly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell me, like, what can you give me? Like, give me some info. Like, how did you a background on you getting into the business of entertainment?
Coco, the lead singer for SWV, mm-hmm. she moved down to Virginia and we became fast friends. And SWV wasn't even together then. And she decided to do a gospel project. She brought me in as her day manager. And I had become a full-time manager with her second project. I was the day manager brought in to her first gospel project. Second project, I ended up becoming the full-time manager. And then SWV, their manager had abruptly left, and I ended up taking over. Was only supposed to be temporarily, but I ended up being there for 7 years. And I didn't have any experience, but, you know, I try to make it work, you know.
So are you responsible for the reality show?
Yes, I was executive producer. I'm the one that brought it. Mm-hmm. I actually brought the reality show to BET, Centric, and TV One. And for some reason, either they didn't have the money, they were interested, all of the above, you know, I went to WeTV, and WeTV bought it to the show.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on the episode. That was a pretty good show. Just kind of funny, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there any, so after you end up, you're not currently with SWV anymore, are you?
No, I'm not, but we're all are still friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite members of the group it has to be Lili, because she's so funny, man. She's hilarious. So funny.
Yeah.
So we're taking another spin. Like with everything that's going on currently in the world right now, with the George Floyd and, you know, all the police brutality, the marching and the protesting. How has that personally affected you with all this that's happening right now and your take on everything?
If you wasn't woke before, you should be wide awake now, mm-hmm. because enough is enough. And it's been going on for so long. Like Will Smith said, it's not that it's just getting started. I mean, it's just happening. It's just being filmed now. It's been happening for a long time. And, you know, we all have a role to play. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, Asian, you know, whatever. You know, we all have a role to play. And when you see wrong, you call out wrong. You know, mm-hmm. you film wrong. You approach the wrongs, you know. You try your best to stop it, you know. You hit it head on. There's a lot of things going on. The police department is so corrupt. I know it because Virginia, I live in Virginia Beach, as I told you. Mm. Virginia Beach and Chesapeake, to me, are two of the racist police departments.
That I know.
Yeah, very, very much so. So mm-hmm. I know change needs to happen everywhere. And I think the biggest thing is how they view us. How they communicate with us. They don't understand us, and they need to try to understand us so they can have a better rapport with us.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I think a lot of it is like, yeah, I think a lot of it, they go off of like, they don't have a lot of interactions with people of color, and they go off of stereotypical statuses. Like
exactly.
they get from, you know, like I think black people act this way, or I assume that
exactly.
every black guy is a thug. You know,
it doesn't help
but
that we have a president that is very divisive. He's not
right.
interested in unifying us and talking about race, find out what ways he could do to make it better, you know, for
right.
the minorities in here, you know. Actually, we are the majority, but we get treated like the minority.
Right.
You know,
I totally agree.
So many things, you know, so many things that needs to happen. And what has happened now, we are forcing change. We're not waiting. We're making it happen. And everyone
right.
is getting called to the carpet, including the president.
All right. And you know, I kind of agree with what you said during your vibe interview with the Clark Sisters about how this is taking on a whole different approach now that we have more people involved in these protests from all walks of life, all creeds and colors. And then on top of that, we have other countries protesting in solidarity with the protesters here in America. It's like on a whole different scale that I've never seen before. You know, I've never seen that much. Like, just to see so many people agree about the things that go on over here in this country towards black people, it speaks volumes. And I think it's really sad that our president doesn't, you know, take heed to that. He just basically, whatever is happening, he speaks against it. And it's very sad.
His time is coming to an end. And I just really hope that he understands that his time is coming to a quick end, a very quick end.
And, you know, with that being said, like, also I want people to remember all the politicians that stood by this man when he did wrong without, you know, speaking against the things that he said and things that he's done. I want everybody to remember all the politicians that cowardly just kind of, put their tail between their legs and just kind of went with it instead of speaking up for the American people that when they seen some injustices and the president basically dividing the country, you know, with, you know, there's some good on both sides, you know, all that type of, you know, cold talking that he does. And, you know.
Yeah.
Hold up.
That's Corey. Cool.
My co-host, Lisa G, just popped in. Lisa, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm so sorry for my tardiness. You know, CPP always work.
We have entertainment executive Corey Taylor on the line with us. We're currently talking and discussing some of the issues with the protesting and police brutalities and things like that.
Yeah, so what have y'all spoke about so far so that I can catch up?
Oh, any perspective, well, you know, is welcome. We're just pretty much, we're talking about how divisive the current president is, how he tries to divide the country because he speaks in codes to, try to get something out of his base. You know, I've seen some signs and protesters, like I said, we have the Black Lives Matter protesters with, you know, white and black and Hispanic people, Asian, all different colors and creeds marching together in solidarity. Now, recently, as of this week, we have some white people who started marching and saying White Lives Matter and things like that. So they're kind of like meeting some of the protesters in different places and trying to counteract in their message.
You know, that's kind of amazing. You know really how I feel about that. I feel like there was a video that was on Instagram the other day, and the girl was trying to give an example of why we represent for Black Lives Matter. It's not that we don't realize that all lives matter, of course. But if your house was burning and you needed to call the police because the lives in that house matter, of course, why would the neighbor be like, well, my house matters too? Your house is not burning. Your life is not at risk right now. So, of course, we're focusing on Black Lives Matter because of all of the things that have been happening. Mm. So my thoughts on that. Lord, don't get me into trouble. My thoughts on that is that, yes, it's a time for shifting and a moving of us speaking up. The thing is that they're afraid. They're afraid that if we realize our worth and we stood up for ourselves, that they would end up being looked at as the minority. It's all about a fear of power and control.
Right, because the power and the control works for them. And that's the way the country and the government and the system is set up. It's in their favor because they wrote the rules. They wrote, you know, the blueprint is everything. It's for them. And then when we got included into it, you know, it wasn't initially written for us to be included in any of the things that they, you know. So later on down the line, when we're kind of added to, you know, to the how the system works and everything like that, we're still left out because it doesn't work for us. So that's why I think like a lot of legislation and a lot of laws and things have to be changed all the way, just like just a rehaul of how everything needs to be looked at. Even the education system, as I stated before, I feel like the education system, because I feel like we're indoctrinated with white supremacy, as you know, through our learning of history in school. We learn about more of the white people than we learn about anybody else, any other people of color, like what great accomplishments and what they contributed to our country. You know, you learn about Martin, you learn about Rosa, you learn about Harriet, and then Frederick Douglass, and then those little small paragraphs in the history book, we move right back on to the rest of the book of white history.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like all that has to change.
Well, it was all whitewashed. All of it is
right.
Whitewashed. You know, they make it seem like everything was a everybody was a hero. Christopher Columbus was a hero, and you know, George Washington was a hero. It's not looked at as what the actual truth is, and they've
right.
done that from the time they took Africans, Indians from their native lands and brought us here to teach us a new language, to tell us who we are, to write our history. You know, they make it seem as if people of color, I don't even know how to say it properly, our melanin, we don't have history. We're barbarians, according to our president. We're people that don't know anything, uneducated, when in actuality, if we didn't go and teach them to wash their hands, they would still be suffering from the bubonic plague. And if we didn't teach them medicines and how to sedate people without knocking them over the head, they would still be doing that. We have an intricate part of history, whereas a lot of their history is filled with lies, rape, murder. Mason, did you really want me to talk about this? Because, I mean, we can go there.
Well, let's get back to our guest. Corey.
I'm just listening. Yeah, I'm just listening.
So Corey has an interesting testimony. I will know if you would feel comfortable sharing your testimony with us about the surgery and your sickness that you went through.
Well, I haven't had surgery. I had a mild stroke a couple of years ago, 2016 to be exact, and it just changed my world forever. You know, very young, drove myself to the hospital. And it really taught me, just like this pandemic has taught me, that anything can happen at any given time. You know, life can change at any given moment. It doesn't need your permission to change, you know. And I am a spiritual believer. You know, I believe in God. I just believe that God is in control. Nothing can happen without His permission. And I just felt like that if He didn't think that I could handle this, He wouldn't allow it to happen. So, you know, I had to look at it that way. If not, I probably would have lost my mind. You know, being so young when I experienced having a mild stroke. Yeah.
And is that something that was hereditary, or is it something that just came like an onset?
You know, I think it was hereditary. I think it was a little bit of everything. I was adopted, so I met my real parents. However, I never discussed medical history, you know, with them. I only met my mom one time. I met my father several times. And we never really talked about that, but I do know that strokes, high blood pressure, things like that run in their family. You know, plus me being in the entertainment business, you know, when you're on the go all the time, you have to force yourself to make sure that you're exercising properly, you're eating right, you're taking your vitamins, all of that, you know. And I really had slipped. You know, up doing that. You know, I was in the gym, you know, three or four times a week, but I wasn't always eating properly. You know, being black is stressful enough. And sometimes we're stressed to the point that we don't even realize how stressed we are.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's very true. So, So now I see that you I follow you on Instagram, and I see that you like, incorporated more working out and things like that into your routine.
Mm-hmm.
of staying healthy. So after everything's all, like, you're back to completely back to your normal, like, the way everything was before, like, on health-wise, or is there?
No.
I mean, I'm more healthy now. As far as I'm still I'm experiencing some paralysis on my right side. I guess it could have been worse. You know what I'm saying? I'm still able to do, I would say, 85% of the things I was doing before. So, you know, it didn't affect my, you know, I didn't have, you know, like some people have strokes and it affects their speech, their mouths are twisted, things like that. That didn't happen with me. You know, just suffered some weakness on my right side. So, yeah.
What was the symptoms that made you think that you needed to drive yourself to the ER?
Well, I didn't know I was having a stroke. I just know that I wasn't feeling right. And so I said, let me just drive myself to the hospital. And because I live maybe like 5 to 7 minutes from the hospital, you know, without lights, you know, that's why I did that. And now I think about it. Yeah, I think that was a sign from God. Sometimes, you know, we miss signs, whether it's with our health, relationships, different things. You ever met somebody and whether they're friendship, whether you know, if somebody you're interested in, taking to the next level, and you hear a voice say, you know what, that's not that person. Watch that person. You know, you better watch it. And something's not right. You know, you feel it, but then you get confirmation, and then you ignore it because you feel like that you could be wrong. And then you end up be like, you know what, I should have listened. And I missed a lot of warning signs because I was just on the go so much.
Wow. Yep. And that's amazing that you actually went to the ER instead of doing the typical thing that us men do, is just go to sleep it off, you know.
The men can go through that too. You're on the go, worried about kids, worried about everything else, and then you don't pay attention to, you know, like you said, the signs. I mean, my mother was one of them. She had a brain aneurysm and she was at church. She wanted to stay. She was sick as a dog, and they forced her to go to the hospital. Had she not made it there in time, she probably wouldn't be here today. You know, she was trying to take care of everything else but herself.
Yeah.
And I look at that as that God made her stop and gave her a nice little warning that, look, everything is not okay. You got to take it easy. Care for that temple that, you know, I gave you now. It's temporary.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, when you don't do what you're supposed to do, there are consequences. Like, I didn't blame that on nobody but myself, you know? So, yeah.
So
what are you doing now during COVID?
I'm sorry, say it again now.
What are you doing now during COVID to make sure that you're keeping yourself safe?
Making sure I'm taking my vitamins, drinking plenty of water, you know, I'm more conscious of my diet. I just bought a bike, so I'm riding my bike. Just doing all those things, you know, just making sure that I'm doing good.
Are you looking to do any spokesperson work or anything like that with the National Stroke Association or anything like that?
Well, I'm actually one of the, the ambassadors. I'm an ambassador for the Stroke Foundation, the American Stroke Association, excuse me. Yep. So I've been around talking about that, you know. So that's something that I've been doing, very passionate about. I was ashamed. I didn't want nobody to see it at first, but I was like, you know what, let me just do it, you know, because somebody out there needs to hear my testimony, especially in the music business. You know, a lot of people are self-employed, whether you're in the music business or not. A lot of folks are self-employed, and we get so, you know, stressed out with the cares of life. Yep.
Wow. That's amazing testimony. Definitely glad you listened to your inner voice and just kind of like did what you had to do, because you know, it could have went a whole different way, and it's good that you.
Oh yeah, most did, definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yep.
So being now that you have, are you recouping and from that? I'm sure still. What are you doing now? I'm sorry, you know, I'm just coming in, so I didn't hear if you did speak. Can you tell me what you're doing now and how you're pacing yourself to get your projects done?
Well, right now, I'm working on a couple of TV projects. We're trying to develop the TV projects right now, because it's only so much you can do. During this pandemic, I was managing 702. That is on hold. Don't know how long, you know, that's going to go, but that's on hold, you know, right now, you know. What else am I doing? I do day trading as well in the daytime. I'm doing something. I collaborate with Vibe, so I'm handling a lot of their R&B projects. My hands are in a couple of other things. But that's pretty much it. The TV, I love working with TV, working on TV projects. I wrote a book, so we're in the editing process right now. So I'm waiting on that to see how that's going to be, how that's going to turn out.
That sounds like a lot, man. Any of your TV projects, that's reality-based TV or scripted?
Most reality right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a documentary. Yeah.
Yep. So are you and Faith still working on TV projects together, like anything in the works? That
we're
you
working
guys,
on one TV project together. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm still and next time you talk to her, ask her what happened to the bio that was supposed to be on VH1. Because I promoted it and everything, MTV released statements and articles about the bio
yeah.
that they were going
to
do.
I know what happened, but I'm not at liberty to discuss, you know.
Okay, understandable.
So,
yep.
so
not to be funny, and Nathan already knows what's coming. But if you ever need someone to act on your, you know, even background, you need to do a card flip. That's me right here.
Okay.
Just looking to add
it.
Something to my resume.
Hey, I got you.
Yeah.
You sing? Is that what you do? Sing?
I sing, according to Mason. I act. I can do voiceovers.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And where are you based at?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not privy to travel. I will travel. Maybe not right this second, but I will travel.
I got you. Yeah. Hey, I'm with you, too. I ain't trying to do a whole lot of traveling right now. I'm not, because I'm still not comfortable with everything that's going on. I don't care what the world makes you do. I'm using common sense. I'm not fearful, but I want to be cautious.
You have to be.
Absolutely.
Because we've been misled with information.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much information coming from so many different places. The best thing to do is just take precaution and still treat this thing like it really does exist, like it does. So, Corey, before we let you go, and you just told us about your upcoming projects and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
Is there any music projects that you'll be working on in the near future, like as executive producing any music or anything like that, any other than 702?
Well, no, I'm not taking on that. I get asked that all the time, and I'm not right now, you know, taking on that. You know, new artists have to be like phenomenal, because the music business has changed so much, and you got to be able to hold your own and not look for management or a label. You need those people to come in after you have already done everything that you can.
Right.
You know, so No, I'm not working with any, whether it's young, whether it's new artists or established artists. You know, not right now.
Yeah.
You know, people not really buying music like that. To be honest,
really,
unless you're an A artist, you got to be like an A artist with a major following platform.
Mm-hmm. And I'm
still
trying to
learn. Is there any advice that you can give to anybody that is trying to get into the industry? I'm not talking about me, but like anybody that's trying to get into the industry. Any advice that you would give to them as far as starting off,
yes.
Like you said?
Yes. Learn the business. And don't be so thirsty to get in the business and you don't know the business, because you'll get got. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they are wannabes, you know, and they're microwave stars,
right.
You know, it doesn't last long, you know. Try to strive for longevity, you know. Don't get caught up in social media. A lot, you need social media to create a platform, but you don't let the platform deter you with who you are, because
right.
Social media sometimes can be very what's the word, not authentic,
right?
You know, can be just lead you to astray. Sometimes you think that you're more than what you really are, you know,
right?
And that's what a lot of people are great on social media, and that's it. If I can't Google who you are, then that tells me that you still got work to do.
Exactly.
So do you think that American Idol kind of messed it up for the industry, or kind of really changed that kind of platform for the industry, aside from having the internet itself?
No, I think the social media messed it up for everybody.
Right.
I really think so, you know.
Yeah. I think the internet in general kind of messed up for the music industry. With the streaming music and all that stuff, you know, being able to download music without paying and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Too much pressure on everything else except the talent and the gifts. You know, appearance, you know, showing, you feel like you got to be naked to get attention. Because a lot of these people, they don't understand, like, if you're nice looking, if you got a nice body, you know, they're not really cared about your talent. They just want to see you. They just
right.
want to feel like they can, you know, see you. They're more interested in your image than your talent. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in now.
That's why we have so many, every other week or so, it's like a new rapper or a new singer coming out. And then the next thing you know, like a year later, they're completely gone.
Everybody's not meant to be in this business. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people mess up at. Just because you can sing, write, dance, do all that, that don't mean that this is what you're supposed to be in the business. That means that that's that you're able to do those things. That don't mean
right.
that you're supposed to do this full time. You know, and that's just real talk. A lot of people get caught up listening to their friends, their family, social media. You know, this business is not for everybody. This business will eat you up and spit you out and keep it moving.
That's true.
It will do that.
You know, and one thing I want to say before we go, I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Just coming off your interview with Vibe Magazine with the Clark Sisters, and you still made time to show up for us. And that's a testament to, like, how you know, down to earth and what kind of spirit you have, like, just to be that way for us.
Your word means everything,
we're
man. Like,
completely grateful, man.
My word means everything to me. If your word is no mm-hmm. good, then you're no good. And then, like I was telling the Clark Sisters on the interview, humility can open doors for you that your gifts and talents cannot. Sometimes people don't get that, but it's a true, true saying, you know. People don't understand, like, just being nice can impress someone
right.
more than your gifts and talents can.
Wow.
Yep.
Baby.
You know who says this line right here? You know who says this line, Corey? If you're coming from the right place, you can't go wrong.
Mm-mm.
Faith Evans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she always says that when in reference to being down to earth and just being, you know, not so above it. You know, like some people, like you said, when you get in this entertainment industry, people like kind of get their head and they feel like they're bigger than everybody now. And you got to remember these people that you stub your nose to are the ones that are buying your products, you know, whatever you're doing, using their hard-earned money to support you. So,
yeah,
and I'm totally very appreciative of someone on your caliber to come to the show and
no problem at all, man. I really appreciate that.
This is Every Artist Podcast. I'm your host Mason Santiago. It's my host Lisa G, and we want to thank the amazing Corey Taylor for taking the time out today to joining us and dropping some gems on us. Everybody, have a great day.
All right. Thank
have
you, man. Take care.
Thank you, Corey.
Nice meeting
you.
Take care, Corey.
Nice meeting you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, yo, Snoop. What up, cuz? It's Faith. I'm in town. I'm having a little get-together. I want you to come through. Bring a few of the homies, all right?
Your lyrics just split ya, head so hard that your hat can't fit ya. Either I'm with ya or against ya, format bent ya. Back through that maze I sent ya.
The maze of the days I blaze, I will amaze. Smoking while you're looking with some California A's. Me and Big, what it is, get it in. Sipping gin with the hen in the alleyway. Bang in the Cali way.
Talking to the rapping.